All right. Howdy, y'all. Howdy. Let's grab our seats. Let's get ready to get started. We are in week 4, which means after tonight, we only have 4 more weeks. That's it. So, first of all, I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Derek Walker. I've been going to Timber Creek for a long time now. I guess not as long as some people, but I'm close to 9-10 years, somewhere in there. My main station that you might ever see me at is in the youth building. I'm over there helping in the youth for years after years. There's a few youth kids that come through here. They're in here now. So I've been doing that for a long time. But, hey, I'm excited. I hope you guys are excited about Encounter. How have you guys liked classes so far? The best part is so far we've been giving you stuff to try to build your life of how to help yourself get that encounter, okay? So, you know, you got your alignment, you got walking in the Spirit, you got all this stuff, taking your weakness to God. You've got all these things, and tonight we got one more thing to help you get to that next step. We'll talk about that just in a second. First of all, you guys should have some of these cards on your table. Hopefully, if you came to service today, they also had them in our chairs. But first, we're going to talk about the women's retreat. And that was pretty good. I was getting ready to say it just this side of the room, but you guys already did it. The women's retreat, that's actually this Friday, all right? So with that, the awesome thing for you ladies is it's from 6 to 9:30 this Friday night. You're going to want to go. It's just the ladies. You don't have to worry about the men. The other part is you got these men that don't really help out. There's also childcare, so you don't have to worry about it because I know how men can be. They're not going to help you out. So you know what? If you got kids, take them with you. You got childcare there, and you got your women's retreat this Friday. On the other side of that, we've got the men's retreat. Yeah. All right, wait, sorry. The men's night. Sorry, because it says it differently there. So, all right, gentlemen, that was terrible. But anyways, that is later this month. You guys don't want to miss out on that. That is going to be actually longer than the ladies because, you know, we're men, so we take longer to do stuff, I guess. I don't know. 6 to 11, we got more stuff to fight through. That's us. So that's going to be a fun night. Somebody said there's good food there. I don't know. That's what I heard. That got me. I mean, I might not look like it, but, you know, skinny guys can eat too, okay? All right, so I love food, so that'd be an awesome night for us, okay? Ooh, who said chocolate bacon? Oh, Justin. I'm in. Anybody else in for some chocolate bacon on the men?
Yeah.
The women's have good food too for you ladies that like to eat. We won't tell anybody that you like to eat, but you go and eat some good food, right? All right, hey, on top of that, I'm going to talk to you guys really quickly. Let's talk about the Encounter Retreat. I hope you guys are planning on going to the Encounter Retreat. If you are not planning on it, you are missing out. I want you guys to think back. Have any of you guys ever been to camp before in your life? Okay, some of you got to think back longer than other people. Some have to think about, like, just this past summer for some people in here. But think back to camp. Did you ever come back from camp and go, oh, man, that was terrible. I wish I would have never went to camp. Did you ever do that? No. So if you go to Encounter Retreat, I promise you're going to go, man, that was awesome. And it's even going to be better because now you're an adult and you can get where you're getting closer to God and things are just striving for you. And I promise you, you will not walk away unsatisfied. I promise you that. I'm giving my promise on that. If you are, you can come and talk to me and I'll take care of you somehow and like make you happy by bringing you chocolate, I guess. But I promise you, you're not going to come back unsatisfied, okay? So make sure you guys sign up for the Encounter Retreat. Pay what you can each time. Like, start breaking it up in payments. So that way you can get that taken care of. That's something that you're worried about. I promise you, it's going to be awesome. All right. I want to tell you this one last thing. After tonight, remember, there's only 4 more weeks. Let's look at that in a different way. 8 more hours. Okay, so stop stressing. Satan right now is going to start fighting you guys and start telling you guys, oh, man, just sleep. You know what? Take that nap. Oh, watch that football game. Oh, you know what? You got to clean the house. Or you got to get the kids ready for school the next day. You got all these different things. You got to go grocery shopping. You got to meal prep. You got to go, you know, you got to work out in the morning. So you'd probably take this 2 hours of sleep. Don't let Satan tell you these things. He's going to start fighting you right now because he knows that your encounter with God is on its way right now. Okay? Tonight, we're going to give you something else to help you a little bit, okay? Some people, if you know what this is fasting. I know some people look ahead in their books, and that's what you already know. That's what we're talking about tonight. If you haven't looked ahead, that's what we're talking about with fasting. If you don't know what that is, we're going to give you a lot of stuff about fasting tonight. But first, I want to tell you, that this is a tool, okay? So, gentlemen, if I said, hey, we're going to go to Walmart, we're going to go get one of those cabinets. Has anybody bought Walmart cabinets recently and they have like 5,000 screws? You guys know what I'm talking about? They have like 5,000 screws. Okay, maybe I'm the only one. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If I gave you just a butter knife and said, here, this is the tool you're going to use, are you going to probably get? You're probably going to get it done, right? But it's going to probably take a long time if you do get it done, and it's probably not going to look the best, right? It's going to take some time, right? Now, ladies, if I'm not trying to make this like this, but I'm just, but ladies, let's talk about cooking. Let's say you're going to go cook something. I'm just throwing it out there. If you cook, if you bake, okay? Men, if you bake also, okay? Justin, if I said, hey, I need a teaspoon of salt, but all I give you is a shovel, is that going to help you out? You're probably going to get it cooked, but is it going to be exactly right? No. Okay? So God has given us tools. He's given us tools to help us fight battles so he can fight the battles for us. And one of these tools he's given us is fasting. So tonight we're going to talk about fasting, and I want you guys to dive deep into this and don't overdo yourself and say, man, I'm going to do this and this and this. Do what you know you can do for yourself, because here's the thing. We've all fall short of the glory of God, and we all fail. So at some point, you're probably going to mess up and be like, oh, I shouldn't have ate that, or I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have turned on my TV because I was supposed to fast TV, or however you're going to do it. Don't let those things and Satan say, well, you messed up. Just quit it all. Okay? So you're probably, because you're going to mess up at some point in your life. We always mess up every day. We've messed up today, probably every single one of us. I know I got angry with my kids today. We always mess up. But God has given us tools, and fasting is one of those tools. Okay, so I want you guys to get excited about this. This is something because we're going to try to do a breakthrough with you guys to get your encounter with God. Everybody's encounter with God is different. Yours is going to be different than mine. Yours is different than his. Yours is different than hers. Everybody's encounter is different, but the only way you're going to get that encounter if you start using the tools that we're laying before you and you're doing it on your own. We only have you for 2 hours a week. You've got the rest of that time to start using those tools to build upon God's promises to give you the breakthrough and the encounter you need. Okay, so tonight we're going to have some fun. We're going to talk about not eating and stuff like that, okay? It's exciting, all right? So I need you guys to dive head on, head strong, and get ready for your encounter with God, okay? So first I'm going to bring two people up, okay? On my list it says the first person that's supposed to come up, he is a person who is a strong person here. He is one of the main leaders here in Encounter, and I want everybody to get excited and clap your hands for Zane Adams. See,
I just love the introduction of that. Like, can't wait to get excited about not eating. No one else could pull that off, Derek. Yeah. So now, real quick, team, just wanted to share with you something about the retreat and actually this class. Each one of us, like I said earlier, has a story, right? My real quick 5-minute story is, how many people here in this room can say they have been attending what used to be Luckin First Assembly or TCC before the main sanctuary was here? Can anybody raise their hand? Lisa? Yeah, I see you. Anybody else? Ben? Yeah, not I'm one of those too, except for I was like, what, 12 years old or so whenever I was brought here and the main service was in this church. So my key point about that was, I've been here a while, right? And when I was younger, had a very fresh salvation, right? I was involved, you know, in ministries, going to teenage years, you know, participating in fine arts here, went to competitions, represented the church. I mean, I was in it to win it here at the church. Then life happens, right? Go to college, get with friends, adulthood, job, and slowly, that freshness that I had, that vivacity within my faith, that's something that kept me going, that purpose, started chipping away a bit. It wasn't as fresh and clean. It was kind of cracked here and dented there. It was still there, but it was kind of beat up. It didn't look so hot. And wasn't really proud of it at that point. And eventually that became, I would call it a dryness within my faith. And I remember specifically talking with my wife. I was still here at the church. I was still attending more than ever. 2 services. I was serving over at Kids Works, which, by the way, I don't know if you know this. If you check in your kids at Kids Works, I don't know what happens, right? But your children become spawns of Satan, okay, when you check them over. And I dealt with that. And that was part. No, I'm kidding. No, but I was serving. I'm kidding. I was a joke, okay? All right. Anyway, so I dealt with it. Hey, your kids aren't dead, are they? No, they're fine. Anyway, so I was very active, right? Doing a lot of good things. A lot of people would say, man, that's awesome. That's great that you do this, etc. But there was still this dryness that was there. And where there's dryness, there's no life. There's a few gardeners in here, right? Ever see a garden that has dry, dead plants? What kind of fruit do they produce? None, right? So this dryness had no life. And because it had no life, even though I was going through the motions, I wasn't giving anything. I wasn't giving anything, so I didn't have any joy. I had no joy, so I had no hope, right? And I remember talking with my wife about this and just sharing, like, man, I just feel like I'm just going through the motions here lately. And an advertisement came up about the Encounter team, the group. It was the second class they ever had. And the key words that stuck out to my mind was some of the leaders talking about it was a refreshing, it was a renewal. And I said, man, I need that. I need that. I'm tired of just, because you just wake up, right? It doesn't happen in one moment that suddenly you're kind of chipped away, right? It's like over 10, 12 years, and it's like, wow, where I remember the person I used to be, and now I'm kind of just coasting, you know? So I attended the class, and I'll tell you, it was the refreshing and renewing that I needed, you know? But I'll be honest, when I first came in here, and probably some of you here even now, it's probably a good thing they had two doors there for the entrance, because my head was so big. I came in here so cocky, thinking, come on, y'all. I've been here. I've been doing this thing since I was a teenager. I know this stuff. You're not teaching me anything I don't already know. But I can tell you that cockiness started being chipped away instead, because everything in my mind that I knew that I wasn't applying, that I wasn't taking to heart, using in my own life, right? It started being broken away, and I started getting what I needed poured into my life, poured into my heart, started getting support from the people here at your tables, here leading this group, to where the verse that describes it best is, I can now claim Isaiah 40:31, you know, where it says, and they that trust upon the Lord renew their strength. They can soar on wings as eagles. They can run and not grow weary. They can walk and not faint. I had no strength left. I was going through the motions, but there wasn't. I was weary. I was tired. I had no life, no vivacity to my faith. And this class changed my life, changed my marriage, changed my future. I can guarantee you, if you're coming in here thinking you know everything already, I was one of those. And guess what? God's got something for you here. And he's not done with the purpose and will that he has in your life. So be open, receive it, and apply it. Okay? Cool. I just wanted to share that. Thank you very much.
I feel like sometimes a lot of us are that way. Or I know I was at one point. I came in thinking I knew everything. I've seen all this. I read it. It's the same thing over and over again. But it's something about applying it and going through it, and God changes you and works. And I saw it change one of my really good buddies. And Lisa likes to always point that out to me every time I'm in here. She's like, remember when so-and-so, you know, well, Jason is my buddy's name, and his life was renewed, and actually didn't hit till the retreat. And that was the biggest thing, is we were in here, and me and him were chatting, he's drawing, and by the retreat, boom. So that's why I really encourage you guys to go to the retreat. Make that a point that this is something I'm going to do for yourself, is to go to the retreat. Thank you, Zane. Next, we have another testimony from a lovely lady who does a lot of the back scene stuff, that setting up the tables, putting those booklets out there for you, making sure there's candy on my table, which I really appreciate that. So really quickly, let's have a testimony from Amy Seaman.
Hi, guys. We're really glad that you're all here tonight. I will tell you that I'm fairly new to the Encounter scene. This is only my second semester here getting to help out, and I've only been to the retreat once, and I cannot tell you guys how excited I am about getting to go again. I'll tell the moms in here, it's okay to leave your kids for the weekend, because I'm telling you, you're going to come back so much better for them. Guys, oh, you need it. I'm telling you, it'll change your life. It changed mine. It'll change your life. Well, last Sunday night, I was getting ready to leave, and Justin Lindsay looked at me and said, Amy, you're talking next week. All right. And I asked him, I said, okay, are we talking about like what's going on right now? And he said, absolutely. So here I am. This week I'm getting to help talk a little bit about fasting. I will tell you that I am a wife of 24 years. I am a mom of two beautiful adopted boys that are very rotten. I am a teacher. I have taught for 25 years. I teach the littles. K-1 and 2 has been my experience. I may or may not have a student in here this week. But anyway, and yeah, there's a small child around here somewhere, just so you know. What we're here for, fasting. I have a husband, 24 years, mind you, that was saved as a child, and his relationship with the Lord just didn't quite develop. And I've spent many, many years praying for him, many years. And honestly, at times I've given up thinking that I know it's God's will for him to have a relationship with him. But, you know, 24 years is a long time to be praying about something. You know, God, we're ready. Show up, you know. Well, in the process of life, I also have a 16-year-old son, well, a son that will be 16 next week, and a 19-year-old who's in the U.S. Navy. And I have learned so many things through my children. Prayer is one of them. and I didn't know just how much until they've reached where they are right now. I will tell you that I was raised Baptist. I'm actually a Baptist preacher's daughter. And the word fasting never came up in church. I didn't know it existed. I didn't know that it was something I needed. I didn't know it was something that mattered. And my best friends, Whitney and Justin Lindsay, kept asking me, you've got to come to Timber Creek, you've got to come to Timber Creek. And I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it because it was not how I was raised. It was not, you know, just blah, 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 you know, okay. But I finally showed up. And when I did, all of these things started coming at me. And I'm just like, wait a minute, what do you mean fasting is important? What do you mean it's necessary? I'm thinking, it must not be because I don't know anything about it. And I've been in church my whole life, right? And so I began to just try, you know, little things. I learned that there were different kinds, and I learned that there were different purposes. And I'm like, okay, well, all right, well, I'm going to try it. But I'm not sure if it really works, but I'm going to try it. And so I would do things like, I'm going to give up Facebook. I'm going to give up Diet Dr. Pepper. I'm going to give up sugar. You know, I've tried these different things, but I'm trying this out. And the whole time in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, we're going to see. Does this really matter? Is this really real? Is this really important? Is this something that I have just missed out on my whole life? Jump forward to 2 weeks ago, I was in Grow 3, and they were telling us about the Daniel fast, and it was something that their interns had gone through. And as I'm sitting there at the table listening, God goes, that's the one. Are you sure? Because it's a 21-day fast, all right? But what I didn't tell you in the midst of all of this is that my husband had started visiting here, and my husband and my 16-year-old son had decided that they were going to start Starting Point. While all of that's happening, my 19-year-old has had some complications in the U.S. Navy and is going to be going to court on Tuesday, and because he's not in the United States, he is in a situation that could be gravely dangerous for him. And Wednesday night, God told me that that was going to be the one. And it took until Sunday before I could finally say, let's do this. And so I began to pray. And I began to fast. And I began to lay it all down at his feet. Because I couldn't do anything with any of it. I've tried for years. I can't do anything about any of it. And so started on Sunday. On Wednesday night, 3 days later, I walk in to Grow Track, and I sit down, and my phone rings, and it's my sailor. And he said, Mama, the charges have been dropped. Guys, I cannot tell you, I sat there during that prayer that night with my hands just in the air because I'm like, God, it's only been 3 days. It's only been 3 days, you know. And so the next Sunday, my husband and my 16-year-old graduated from Starting Point. And not only did they graduate, they signed up to serve. I'm telling you, it was absolutely incredible. But the funniest thing about it was when I came home that Wednesday night after my son having called about his charges, my husband looked at me. He goes, "So does that mean you're going to eat whatever you want to eat now?" And I said, "No, I made a commitment." Made a commitment, and I didn't know what that meant, because to me, in the back of my mind, I'm going, "God, if you've already answered what I ask you for, does that mean I'm done?" You know, because I'm. But in that process, my son, who has been struggling in the Navy, has gone 6 weeks at a time without talking to me because he knows where he is and what he's doing. And in this 2 weeks, he has called me every single day. And he is beginning to hunger for the Lord on his own and standing on his own 2 feet, even though he's not here. God, I have learned so much from God in this process. And when I tell you that, even though his court hearing is on Tuesday, I have peace. I'm okay. And I know that God has started something in my husband and in my 16-year-old, and it's going to be okay. This stuff is important. I realize that this is a tool that I need. This is something that I need to take into battle. And God is going to be faithful, whether he answers it the way I plan, because if it was up to me, none of this stuff would have happened to begin with. He's got a plan, and his plan's going to be perfect, and this is part of it. So really listen tonight.
Took the words right out of my mouth. That was fantastic. And that's where it starts. It starts with you and the step of faith. It's not God waiting. It's not you waiting on God to do something. It's you take that step of faith, and that's why we're going to fast to try to get these breakthroughs in your life. Okay? So we're gonna have a good night tonight. We're going to learn a lot of good stuff, a lot of stuff you need to take those notes, get stuff written down, because it starts with you. Not the person next to you, not your table host, not anybody else in these t-shirts. It starts with you. You have to take those steps. So to get some of those tools we're going to go back to the lady that came here earlier this year and taught us that the axles are under the car. So now that we know that, let's bring Taylor up, and she's going to take care of us tonight.
I now know. That is true. The axle is under the car. I didn't have to fast to get that answer. I just went to Chris Henson. No, you guys, they chose those testimonies for a reason, because they're obviously about the power of fasting. It's not just about the power of fasting, though. It's about the power when we partner with God to see his will done. To see the Lord's will done. And God says, "I want you to partner with me in this." God says, the Bible says that he looks to and fro. His eyes scan the earth to and fro to see who will pray and intercede, who will pray and stand on behalf of someone else's life to pray and fast and intercede for that person. God wants us to be a part of his story. He invites us to be a part of his story. Tonight is all about fasting. Before we jump into that, though, I do want to go over one of my absolutely most favorite stories in the Bible about fasting. I love what the Bible says. It says, "The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." And I know that sounds contradictory to the words of Jesus, but we don't fight with our fists. We fight with our prayers and our fasting. We fight in the spiritual realm, not in the physical realm. And Satan has come to what? To kill and steal and destroy. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Satan does not want the kingdom of heaven to advance. He doesn't want your marriage to be restored. He doesn't want your lost sons and daughters to come home to him. He doesn't want you to get freedom in an area of your life and heart that you've never had freedom in before. He doesn't want you to discover all that God has for you. He doesn't want you to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit in you, the resurrection power that you talked about last week, about walking in alignment. So he comes to try to kill it. And steal the dream of God in your heart and your life. Steal the work of the Lord in your life. And he comes to be a thief in the night. So we have to pray, and we have to fast, and we have to stand against the wiles of the devil the Bible says. But what we're doing is partnering with God, because we're not standing alone. We're standing in his strength to do it. And his will be completed if we do that. So I want to go over this story. It's my favorite one. It's about Queen Esther. Let me give you some background about Queen Esther. She is a boss. She is, man. So Queen Esther was a young Jewish woman, and she actually became the queen. She was so beautiful that the king said, I want to take you as my queen. The king didn't know that she was a Jew. And the king's right-hand man, his name was Haman. Say Haman. We some Haman haters, because he's bad. But so he's the king's right-hand man, and he hated the Jews. Hated them, wanted nothing to do with them, wanted to kill them, wanted to get them wiped off the face of the earth. He actually tricked the king into signing a decree, an agreement basically that said if the Jews didn't bow to him, that they would die, that they would be killed. And his goal was to just kill them off completely and get rid of them. And the king didn't know that his queen, Esther, was in fact a Jew. And Esther's uncle, Mordecai, finds out about this decree that's going out, and he goes to find Esther, and he says, Esther, you've got to do something about this. We're going to be killed. We're going to be wiped off the planet if we don't step in and do something about this. And he says, you've got to go before the king. You're the queen. You've got to go before the king. But what you need to realize is if you weren't invited, even the queen, if you weren't invited to be in the king's presence, he could kill you on the spot like that. You could die. You could be dead. You had to be invited to be in front of the king. You had to be invited to be in his presence, even as the queen. And so Esther's grappling with this fact that if I step out before his throne and before him, even though I'm the queen, I could die. And this is what it says. I love it. Mordecai told them, return this answer to Esther. Do not flatter yourself that, because Esther's trying to get away from it. She's trying to get out of it somehow. And it says, do not flatter yourself that you shall escape the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. Just because you're queen doesn't mean you're going to get out of this. And it says, for if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance shall arise from the Jews from elsewhere, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows but that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this and for this very occasion. Then Esther told them to give this answer to Mordecai. That's her uncle. Go gather together all the Jews that are present and fast for me. And neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I also and my maids will fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. I love that. She says, I'm going to do it. Get the Jews together. We're going to fast. We're going to pray. I'm going to go before the king with boldness and faith. If I die, I die. But at least I know I went. At least I know I did something about it. At least I know I tried to save our people, right? The story turns out, actually, the king finds out about the decree. It turns totally backwards. Haman ends up actually being killed. Mordecai is totally exalted, gets to wear the ring and the robe and ride on the horse. And God flips the script because Esther stepped out and did what she was called to do for such a time as this. And I love this in my Joyce Meyer Bible. It says, because of Esther's sacrifice, fasting, we have to sacrifice some things. We have to sacrifice some food and some time and some things. Because of Esther's sacrifice and bold step of faith, God did use her to save a nation. He used one person in obedience with his will to fast, to get people together to fast and pray, to save the whole nation. She was more blessed in God's will than she could ever have been anywhere else. God's will not always be easy, but it is always worth any sacrifice we need to make. I love that. My question for you guys tonight, though, is what if you're here for such a time as this? What if this is your Esther moment? What if you're on the brink of a breakthrough and God doing something miraculous in your life? That he's saying, if you will apply this tonight, this week, moving forward, if you'll apply fasting to your life, what does he want to do for you? What does he want to do through you? What does he want to do in you? What nations can God touch by you getting into alignment and obedience and fasting and praying and sacrificing a few things? What impact can God make through you to others? I love that. Is Esther a boss or what? Come on. Yes, she is. She's amazing. So I want to open us up in prayer, but before I do, don't let this just be mere knowledge tonight. We're going to learn a lot. We're going to learn a lot about biblical principles of fasting, how to do it, what it looks like. We're going to walk through some exercises even that to help you apply it to your life. But don't close your book tonight and not use this. Don't do that. Make the choice to apply this, because I'm telling you, when you do, you are going to see God move. You're going to see him move mountains. You're going to see him do work in your life and in your heart and in your mind and in your relationships and your finances and where you need breakthrough. You're going to see God move. And he doesn't always move the way we want him to, but he does always do what's best for us when we're in alignment with his will. And so tonight, I want to pray, and then I just want to jump right in. We've got a lot of information, but it's a lot of good information. And I'm telling you, you're going to be equipped and empowered tonight. You are. And if you own this and you walk this out, you are going to be transformed from the inside out in a way that you never have before. Maybe you haven't in a long time. So, Father God, I thank you for the Esthers in the room tonight. I thank you for the men and women that you have seated here for such a time as this. They are on the line of breakthrough. They're about to walk into greater realms of victory because of your power in and through them, God. And what you're going to use the fasting in their life to do, and what the relationships you're going to restore, the minds you're going to heal, God, the hearts you're going to heal, the wounds you're going to bind up and heal, God, the breakthroughs they're going to see, Father, we declare it right now, Jesus. And God, it's my prayer, oh Lord, that they would see you so clearly tonight, God. God, give us eyes to see you for who you truly are, Lord. Give us ears to hear your voice in this place. God, give us hearts that want to receive your word tonight, and not just receive it, but apply it and walk it out and see victory in greater levels, God. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word that sets us free. We thank you for the truth of your word, God, that strengthens us, that equips us, that brings clarity and direction. Do all of those things tonight. It's in your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, you guys, let's jump right in to what is a fast. What is a fast? In its purest form, fasting is the practice of abstaining from food. It's not eating food, either completely or partially or for a specified period. So that's what a fast is. The spiritual discipline of fasting, combined with prayer, that's an important coupling there, is available to strengthen you spiritually and to help you overcome barriers that might keep you from living the victorious Christian life. So fasting and what? Prayer, not just fasting. If you're just fasting, you're really just dieting or you're starving yourself, and that's not going to do you any good, because it has to be coupled with prayer. Fasting and prayer does what? It strengthens you spiritually, and it allows God to remove barriers, whether those barriers are in you or on the outside of you. God will remove barriers as you fast and pray and seek his will, just like he did with Esther. He removed the barrier of a decree that was saying she needed to be killed. He removed the barrier of Haman, who was the enemy in this story. God removed those barriers, but he also removed the fear in Esther from approaching the king. And God, there are some things in us that God says, through your prayer and fasting, I will remove that barrier. And there are some things outside of us, and our external circumstances that God also says, I want to remove that barrier and help you. That's the power of the spiritual discipline of fasting. Does that make sense about what fasting? Okay, great. We're going to talk about four different kinds of fast real quickly on this. Prayer is connecting to God. Fasting is disconnecting from the world. So when we pray, we're connecting with God. But when we fast, we're disconnecting ourselves from culture, from the world, from the way the world does things. It's like fasting's like prayer on steroids. Because it's this connecting to God and being disconnected from the world. Jensen Franklin says it like this: the discipline of fasting breaks you out of the world's routine. The discipline of fasting breaks you out of the world's routine. I love that. That's so good. So prayer's connecting to God. Fasting is disconnecting from the world. We're going to go over four kinds of fasts. Four kinds of fasts. And these are all fasts that are biblical. The first one is the complete fast. The complete fast is going without food for a definite period of time. The duration can be one or more days. In Judges right here, it says, then the Israelites, all the people went up to Bethel, and there they sat weeping before the Lord. They fasted that day until evening and presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings to the Lord. Biblical fasts were held for one day. Esther had her and the Jews fast for 3 days. We've seen people in the Bible do a complete fast for a week. We've also seen it even 40 days. The absolute fast. So a complete fast is going without food. This is still drinking liquid. You can have Coca-Cola, smoothies, tea. This is not abstaining from liquids. It's abstaining from solid foods. A complete fast. No food. An absolute fast is no food and water. Who did this in the Bible? There are two people. Moses, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And who else? Jesus. Those are the only two people recorded in the Bible that did this fast. How long can you go without water without dying? 3 days. So we are not saying go gung-ho, do an absolute fast for however long. No, 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 no. We also need to use wisdom. We also need to use wisdom when we fast. No one is asking you to do an absolute fast, not in any way, shape, or form. You need to understand it's not about how much you fast. It's not about the quantity of your fast. Fasting more doesn't equal more results. You still stay in alignment with God. God will show you what to fast, how long to fast, how to fast. God will show you those things, and he'll give you the exact plan, and we're going to even go over some steps tonight that will help you determine that. But don't think of it like, oh, I need a big breakthrough, so I need to do a big fast. You still have to stay in step with the Holy Spirit and walk in the Holy Spirit, even in this. So that's a complete fast, an example of an absolute fast. The selective fast includes omitting certain foods for a certain period of time. So John the Baptist and Daniel both did this. Selective fasts are ideal for people who have hypoglycemia or other health issues and needs. So it's going without meat or going without sugar, like Amy had mentioned. Going without soda. Going without tea. Going without fruits and vegetables. That may be a more of an enjoyable fast, but it's omitting just a selective certain kind of thing. This is a great fast. I've many times have done a sugar fast. It's harder than you think, especially when you like that sugar. I've done fasts where I've fasted different kinds of soda. I really love Coke Zero. So I've done different selective fasts before, which can be a great entry point if you've never fasted before. We recommend you kind of start slow and start small in a sense, because it's not about the quantity. It's about your heart. It's about your motive of heart. And God sees your heart in the fast. Number three, a partial fast. A partial fast involves avoiding all certain foods periodically. So one may choose to fast a certain meal each day for a period of time. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I fast once a week. I fast breakfast and lunch one day a week just for my own personal spiritual alignment. Life happens, and it happens every week, just like we talked about these past 2 weeks of walking in the Spirit and in our soul and our thoughts and our emotions. And sometimes Taylor still gets in the way. But I take one day a week where I fast breakfast and lunch, and I drink nothing but liquids, and just for my own spiritual alignment, just so I can stay in alignment with God, that I can continuously walk in the Spirit and in victory. And I'm telling you, I can hear the Lord's voice more easily. The times that I skip that once a week fast, or have skipped it before, even for an extended period of time, I can tell I'm a little more moody. I'm a little more cranky. I'm a little more easily irritated. My patience isn't quite there as it usually is when I am doing that once a week fast. But that's just an example of a partial fast. So it's fasting a meal. Number four, a soul fast. A soul fast is based around a theme in your life or a specific situation. This can be fasting something other than food to remind you of the thing that needs to be tempered or removed from your life or situation. Social media, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. This could be TV, Netflix. Who's a binge watcher of Netflix? Come on, let's get real. I know. Sometimes it's like, I got to cut off the Netflix because I'm running to Netflix more than I'm running to Jesus to unwind and relax and get my brain off my job. You know what I mean? So sometimes it's time I got to cut out Netflix and give that time to the Lord. You know what's a big one for me? Sleeping in. You guys, I can't tell you how many times I have fasted my snooze button. I'm not joking. And I know that sounds silly and that sounds stupid, but I will hit snooze 50 times and go back to sleep. I'll get out of the bed. I have to put my alarm clock across the room. I will get out of bed, hit snooze, get back in bed, and go back to sleep. No joke. No joke. And so there's been times when me hitting the snooze button was interrupting my time with God. And I wasn't getting that consistent time with the Lord like I need. And I had to tell the Lord, okay, God, I give you my word, I'm not going to hit the snooze button. When that alarm goes off, I'm going to get my tushy up and get my coffee and spend my time with you because this is getting in the way of my time with you. So that's a soul fast. Do we have any questions about these different kinds of fasts or fasting in general? Any questions? So you guys got it? Awesome. That's excellent. We are going to take a break in just a few minutes, but before we do, I want to point out, it's like I said, it's not, the two probably most important things about fasting is that you're following the Lord in it and you're seeking His will. We don't fast for what we want. We don't fast for the outcome that we expect. We're seeking God's will. We're seeking God's plan. We're seeking God's heart. And so before I even ever start a fast, if I kind of feel like I'm hitting a ceiling in my own walk with God, or man, I have a person that I'm close with, they're struggling and I feel it kind of, I think I might need to fast for them. Before I ever even start fasting, I inquire of the Lord. I seek God first. Lord, do you want me to fast? I'm not going to battle if God's not with me. Heck no. If He's with me, let's go, because I know we're going to win. So those two things, you're seeking God's will and you're following His lead. Two important things when fasting. Right now, we are going to take a quick bathroom snack break. We've got your little snack baskets ready to go. We're going to bring those around. Before we do that, I just want to pray over you guys before we move on for the night. Has the first section been good so far? Good. Good, good, good. Father God, Lord, I just thank you that we're able to come in here tonight and learn the biblical truths about fasting. God, we're able to learn about this tool that you've given us that enables us to partner with you, God, to see you remove obstacles from our life, from inside of us and on the outside, Jesus. I just thank you, God, that you're so good. You're so faithful. You're so kind and compassionate, God. You didn't have to give us this tool. You didn't have to make this available, but you did because you want us to be victorious. You want us to walk in victory. You want us to partner with you in what you're doing in and through our lives. And I just thank you for that, God. And Father, I pray throughout the rest of this teaching tonight, God, would you continue to speak to every person? Lord, I just pray, God, that there would be such clarity and hope. God, there would be ownership. Oh, Lord, that there would even be excitement stirring in them, that they can already feel, this is what I need to do. This is what God is leading me. This is how the Holy Spirit is leading me to do this. Oh, Lord, would you begin to stir that on the inside of us, God? So that we can see the greater levels of victory for your kingdom, God. So that you can break the bondages that maybe we still operate in and think in, or that others around us maybe do, Lord. We thank you for it, God. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, you guys have 10 minutes. Get some coffee, get some water, get some snacks, use the bathroom. We'll meet back in 10 minutes.
All right. That's my Matthew McConaughey. Everybody, let's start grabbing our seats, come back to the tables. We got a lot to go through in a little bit of time, so I want to get it started quickly. You guys enjoying it so far? I have learned something new that I'm going to fast. It's going to be really hard for me, so I need your all's prayers as fruits and vegetables. I'm going to really try hard this week to go ahead and fast that completely, so it's going to be really hard. I'll go ahead and continue eating sweets. That's okay. All right. But anyways, I hope that's a good start to get you to understand the different forms of fasting, complete, selective. And like I said earlier, you're going to learn a little bit more about this, but don't just jump headstrong into something saying, I can do this. There ain't no way you're doing 40 days with no food, no water, so don't do that one. I'm telling you, no food and no water for one day. It's pretty difficult, so be careful how you do that. But we'll talk more about that. But hey, I hope you guys are really getting excited. I'm excited to learn more because we're going to, the next 4 weeks, because remember, like I said, when you break that down, it's only 8 hours. I'm pretty sure you've watched more Netflix in one day than once a week coming to get 8 hours of learning, okay? 4 more weeks. Don't let Satan bring you down. A little bit more about fasting. Get these tools. Take it to heart. And let's finish strong this encounter to help. That way you guys can have your encounter with God. All right, let's bring Taylor back up, and she's going to talk some more for you.
Thank you, Derek. I could tell he got a lot out of that. He's fasting fruits and vegetables. We're going to pray and fast for him. No. You guys, let's keep going. Section part two of tonight's teaching on fasting. We're going to now get into what does fasting do for the believer. So we looked at what is a fast and four biblical types of fasts that we see in the Bible. Now we're going to talk about what does it do for the believer? What does it do in your life, in my life? How do we benefit from this? What are the results of fasting? What can we expect to see God do through our fast? First and foremost, Jesus modeled and taught believers a lifestyle of fasting. Jesus is our example in everything, even in fasting. Matthew 4:2, after he had gone without food for 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. Cracks me up that it says that. But I think it's just also a reminder of the humanity of Jesus. He was 100% God and 100% man, so it's not like this fasting was easy for him. It was still a sacrifice. It still cost him something because he was still in the flesh of a human body. And so he was hungry after he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I think I'd be dead and with him in heaven. But so then in Matthew 6:5 and 16, this is Jesus speaking. He says, when you pray, when you fast. Not if you pray, if you fast. There's kind of this expectation of us as believers that if we're following in the footsteps of Christ, if we're truly devoted Christ followers, he says, when you pray, when you fast, this is something you will be doing to live close to me and to live a victorious life. I love that. So what does fasting do? Fasting, number one, it eliminates confusion and brings clarity. It eliminates confusion and brings clarity. The Apostle Paul fasted in Acts 9. He was fasting for insight and decision making. He was confused. He needed clarity. He needed direction. He needed a word from God on the decision he was making. Fasting gets us what we want, what we're thinking, and what we're feeling out of the way so that we can tune in and clearly hear what God is saying. Do you guys remember what our soul from week two? What is our soul made up of? Our mind, which is our thoughts, our will, the things that we want, and our emotions, our feelings. So sometimes when we need clarity, it's because the voice in our feelings and the voice in our thoughts is battling the voice of God. And I can't seem to figure out which direction to go because me, Taylor, says, this is what I want. Gosh, I really want to stay in that relationship with this person. I really love him. I really feel like this could be God. But yet, I don't quite have a peace about it because my emotions are so mixed in with what's going on. I might need to fast and pray so God can separate what's me and what's him. And I can see clearly, this is what God is saying. This is how God wants me to walk. This is the direction I need to go. So it removes that confusion and God is able to bring clarity because we get ourselves out of the way. He gets us out of the way, you know. He gets our attitude. He gets those negative thoughts about ourselves or him or others. Gets those out of the way. Our will. Who's strong-willed in here? I am. Yeah, sometimes it takes fasting for God to get my will out of the way, you know. But sometimes our will has to get out of the way so his will can be completed. And that's what fasting does. I love this. It kind of expedites the spiritual alignment process, and that's why I fast once a week, is to continually walk and stay in spiritual alignment. It doesn't mean that my life is buttercups and roses. Life still happens to Taylor Brookshire. You know, things still happen that throw me off course. I hit some potholes sometimes, but as I'm fasting and seeking God on a continual weekly basis like that, it's easier for his hand to guide me back into alignment when things like that happen. And I love, even from the story of Esther, fasting properly aligns our soul. Esther said, fast for me. Why? Because she was terrified. She didn't want to go before the king. She said, go fast for me, that God can remove the obstacles within me so that I could go and do his will, and his will could be completed for the entire nation of the Jews, of Israel. I love that. So fasting removed those fears and those barriers within herself so she could walk out God's mission for her life. That's the power of fasting in a believer's life. Number two, it removes obstacles. Very similar what we're on that point. It removes obstacles. I love the story when Daniel is fasting and he fasts for, how long did Daniel fast for? He had two different fasts. One was 21 days. This earring keeps Oh, there it is. Okay, just ignore that. So Daniel begins fasting. He ends up fasting for 3 weeks. When the answer that he needed to get from God finally gets to him, it's sent to him by an angel. And the angel says, Daniel, when you started fasting, when you started praying, your prayers were heard on day one. It took us 21 days to get to you because we were resisted by the prince of Persia. It's not a physical prince. It was a spiritual prince of darkness of that territory that was resisting the angel, resisting what God was trying to break through with. And it took Daniel's continual fasting and prayers for God to break through and get him the answer. It removed that spiritual obstacle from the enemy. Because the enemy's not going to stand back and applaud you guys as you begin to move forward in a victorious life. He's not just going to say, oh, well, they're almost on week 5. I can't get them now. There will be some resistance. But don't let your hearts be troubled. And don't be afraid of that, because the power of God in you is much greater than anything the enemy may try to throw at you. Okay? So it removes those obstacles, those barriers. Eliminates confusion, brings clarity, removes obstacles. Number three, fasting strengthens the spirit and weakens the flesh. As diet and exercise bring strength and health to our physical bodies, fasting and prayer bring strength and health to our spirit. Do you remember what we talked about even in week two? We said, what you feed will grow. What you feed will grow. What you starve will die. So if you're feeding those negative thoughts, if you're feeding those emotions, if you're feeding your will and your desire and your way, what do you think is going to grow? If you're feeding those temptations and you're feeding that habit, that sinful habit, if you're feeding that attitude towards that person, that's going to continue to grow and produce fruit in your life. But as you feed your spirit by connecting to God and disconnecting from the world through prayer and fasting, now your spirit man is becoming strengthened. And now all of a sudden you realize, I just held my tongue when I usually say that to that person or to my spouse or to my kid. Or gosh, I have way more patience than I used to have before. I've noticed that the thoughts that I have about myself are beginning to change and transform. I'm starting to really believe the truth of what God says about me, because you're strengthening your spirit. You're feeding that spirit man, and he's becoming stronger in you, and you're walking in the spirit and in alignment like we've already learned. A habitual lifestyle of fasting can help ensure our ability to walk in the Spirit daily and maintain spiritual health. It simultaneously weakens that sinful flesh. So what you feed will grow, and what you starve will die. Number four, fasting softens. It softens the soil of our hearts. Isaiah 58, I love this. I'm going to read it here in a second. But listen to this. It is hard to pull up roots from dry, hard soil. Have you ever tried to pull weeds or pull something out of dry soil? What happens? It just breaks and the root stays in the soil. But as rain softens the hard, dry ground, making it easier for the roots to be pulled up completely, so fasting and prayer make for the easy removal of weeds and all that is robbing us from reaching our potential. So as we're fasting and praying, and as we're feeding our spirit, as we're feeding our thoughts the truth of God's words, we're connecting with God, and confusion is being removed, and we're having more clarity about who we are and what we're called to do, and we're having more clarity about who God is and who God is in our life. And as we're walking in that, the soil of our heart becomes softened, and now the Holy Spirit is really able to come in, because you're surrendered, because you've been praying and you've been fasting. And he's able to pluck out those things from the soil of your heart that before, when tried to pluck out, they would just break off because the soil may have been a little dry and crusty. But it's been watered through your prayers and your fasting. Does that make sense? Is this registering tonight? I love this in Isaiah 58. It says, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every enslaving yoke? That's what the resurrection power of Jesus Christ can do in our lives, as we seek God and we pray and we fast and we lean into him. He can break the yokes of bondage off of our lives, yokes of fear, yokes of anxiety, of depression, of suicide, yokes of this is just the way that I am, this is how daddy did it, this is how I do it, this is how mama did it, this is how I do it, yokes of rejection, tendencies of how we what we tend to do and lead into. But as we fast and we pray and we feed our spirit and we begin to walk in alignment with the Holy Spirit, Jesus is able to break those yokes, to break those thought processes, to break off the things that enslave us so he can be the true master over us and within us and through us. I love that. And it's the power of Jesus. It's the power of Jesus and agreeing with him and agreeing with what he says about your life and who you are and the kind of spouse that you are and the kind of dad or the kind of mom that you are, because he says good things about you. And I know a lot of times in my own life, I don't say good things about me. But as I feed my spirit and I connect to God and I disconnect from the routines of the world, I can hear what he says over me. And when I come into agreement with that, there's so much strength, there's so much victory, there's so much power as you pray and as you fast. Number five, fasting brings results. It brings results. When it is done right, when it's done out of the right motive of heart, when it's done and with the intention to seek God's will for your life, to seek God's will for a certain situation or circumstance, it will bring results that you can stand on, that you can see. Mountains will be moved. What does Jesus say? If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move into the sea. Those things will happen in your life. I've seen them happen. Justin and Whitney Lindsay, they were divorced. Now they're married again, and he's teaching and leading this class. They're both on staff. How did that happen? Fasting and prayer, and mountains move because they got into alignment with God. Results. Remember, prayer connects us to God. Fasting disconnects us from the world. So prayer plus fasting equals what? Results. That's right. As we move forward from this day on in encounter, fasting and prayer will become a key in the overall and individual success of this process. We challenge you to begin the habit of fasting and praying as you continue to move forward in this encounter experience. Use the tools in your appendix to help you fast and pray effectively. And we do. We challenge you to begin this discipline in your lives. And we're going to help you work through that right now. If you guys want to flip to Appendix C in your... Thank you, Whitney. Okay. Flip to Appendix C. It should say four kinds of fasts. We went over that. I encourage you to also read this when you go home. I do want to just go over the abuses of fasting, just so you're aware of what they are and what fasting done wrong kind of looks like. Is everybody in Appendix C? Give me a thumbs up if you're there. You guys have abuses of fasting? Awesome. So I want to go over these real quickly, and then we'll move into the seven basic steps for effective fasting. Abuses of fasting. Some separated the formal practice from internal devotion to God. So basically, their heart in it wasn't right. Their motive of heart, they weren't concerned about getting closer to God. They weren't concerned about their devotion to the Lord. That wasn't the motivating factor in their fast. They were doing it either for appearance or to have this spiritual, pious kind of authority. So our heart and our devotion to God is the motivating factor in our fasting. Number two, abuse of fasting. Fasting was sometimes practiced, and you'll see scripture references next to these as well. Fasting was sometimes practiced to cover other sinful motives. Well, if I fast and I pray, that can just kind of balance out the scale for this, this, and this. Or I can. Sometimes we think, well, I go to church, so I'm a good person, or I go to church, and so I don't need to spend time, that much time with God, because I already do that. But fasting is not a blanket to cover up our sin. Jesus forgives us of our sin, and fasting actually is most effective too when it's done out of the heart of repentance. Even if there's anything in me that I need to repent of, you're repenting. So it's not done to cover anything up. Number three, others fasted for economic rather than spiritual or ministry reasons. So they were fasting either to save money or fasting to somehow fill up their pocketbooks. That's not what we're doing. We're not fasting so God can bless our bank account, and we're not fasting to save money. Again, the devotion and the motive of heart in fasting is to seek the will of God and to get closer to him and to see breakthrough in your life. Number four, some Pharisees fasted for appearances. So they would walk around saying, well, we're fasting because we're so spiritual and that's just what we do. That's not the motive of heart behind fasting. Actually, the Bible even says when you fast, don't tell anybody about it. Wash your face, it says, and make it look like you're not suffering from loss of food, because it's a motive of heart in fasting. Number five, fasting probably for aesthetic reasons was demanded by the false teachers in the early church. So saying that you had to fast for this reason or that reason. Number six, today we have to avoid the temptation to fast in order to lose weight. Ladies, don't do that. Just go on a diet. Number seven, I want to keep us on time here. Don't fast to get God to do what you want him to do. It doesn't work. He's not good. You can't twist God's arm by fasting to get him to do what you want him to do. You'll see on the next page, it says fasts in the Bible. These are just some different fasts that apostles did, prophets did, and why they did them. I love reading about this. I love the disciples' fasting for freedom from addiction. Ezra fasting to solve problems. Samuel fasting to draw people to God. The Elijah fast, he fasted to break crippling fears and mental hindrances. The widow's fasting to provide for the needy. You guys can review those. It could be even something that you use as you move forward in creating your fast of why you're going to fast. But right now, I want to go over the seven basic steps for effective fasting and prayer. This is what we really want to work on tonight and get into tonight, because this is going to help you know how to set up a fast and how to plan for it. That way it can be most effective as you're walking it out. Because how many of us know if we have these great ideas that we're inspired by, but if we don't make a plan of action, a lot of times they just don't happen, right? Because we can tell ourselves, I'm going to go to the gym this day and that day, but if we don't actually plan to do it, other things that are usually in that time slot for the day begin to encroach on it and invade on it. And if we're really going to fast and pray and seek God, it's best to make a plan so you can say, no, I have already devoted that 30 minutes before bed, or this 15 minutes on my lunch hour, I'm going to go pray and seek God. And you can... It makes it easier to say no to that person who's asking you to lunch, or say no to the Netflix binge watching. You know what I mean? It makes it way easier when you have a plan and you're committed to the plan and you commit that plan to the Lord and walk it out. So we're going to go over these seven basic steps for fasting. Step one, set your objective. Why are you fasting? This is the why. What do you want to see God do in your life? Are you fasting for yourself? Are you fasting because you feel a little dry on the inside and you want to see God do something just in you and your hunger for him? Are you fasting because you need a breakthrough in an area of your life? Are you fasting for a spouse or maybe someone who's far from God, who's not saved? Why are you fasting? That's your objective. This is the why behind the what. Step two is making your commitment. Making your commitment. Before you fast, decide the following up front. How long will you fast? Are you going to fast for a day? Are you going to fast for 3 days? Are you going to fast for a week, 2 weeks. I do want to encourage you, if you've never fasted before, like we said, start off small. Maybe a 3-day or even a 5-day fast of a small sort would be a really good starting place, even if it's I'm fasting Facebook for this whole week, or maybe I'm fasting TV at night, or I'm fasting sleeping in the morning. Something to start small. But how long will you fast? What type of fast is God directing you to undertake? What do you feel like the Lord is saying to you and how he wants you to fast? And some of you might be thinking, well, I don't even know what he is saying to me about this. What's one way that you could start small? What's something that you, if you close your eyes and you think, I want to give that up. I want to sacrifice and offer that up to the Lord, and in place, I want to spend extra time with him. What's going to cost you something to give it up? If fasting fruits and vegetables isn't costing you something, you know what I mean? It's got to cost you something. Fasting sugar cost me something when the Oreos are sitting in the pantry at night and I want to eat them. I'm serious, and it seems small, but it costs me something. It costs me something to not hit the snooze button. It costs me something to fast Facebook and not see what everyone else is doing. What's going to cost you something that you could instead sacrifice that to God and in place pray? What physical or social activities will you restrict? How much time each day will you devote to prayer and God's word? Making these commitments ahead of time will help you sustain your fast when physical temptations and life's pressures tempt you to abandon it, and it will. So having a plan in place, and not just having a plan in place, having those at your table also helping you stay accountable to what you said you want to do and the commitment you want to make with the Lord in this is also very helpful. Number 3, prepare yourself spiritually. The very foundation of fasting and prayer is repentance. Unconfessed sin can hinder your prayers. Here are several things you can do to prepare your heart. Remember that God is your Father and he loves you and is for you. God's not mad at you. He's not trying to punish you or torment you. He's for you. He's on board with you. And even like what Derek was saying, it was so good. There have been times that I was fasting and I forgot. And I ate the Oreo. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just ate the Oreo. I'm fasting sugar right now. Was God standing there with a belt like ready to lash me? No. Why? Because my heart in the matter was not wrong. It's not like I'm going to sneak an Oreo because I'm sick of this fast. No, it was just that I forgot. I made a mistake because I'm a human being. But my heart in the matter is right, and God sees your heart. So don't be like the Trunchable to yourself and like try to walk this line of fasting. I got to do it this way, and I got to do this, and I got to do this. And I don't be legalistic. Don't be legalistic. Give yourself grace because God is, okay? Confess every sin that the Holy Spirit calls to your remembrance and accept God's forgiveness. One thing I like to do before I fast is just say, God, is there anything I need to repent of? Is there anything that I need to unconfessed sin that I just need to repent of? And the Holy Spirit will show me things. And I don't feel condemned about it. I don't walk in condemnation. I don't start feeling bad. Oh, I did say that way, or oh, I did do that. I just say, Jesus, forgive me of that and move on. I receive his forgiveness and I move on. And the Holy Spirit will show you. You don't have to go through a laundry list of everything you've ever done in your life and ask for forgiveness because now my fast isn't going to work if I don't ask for forgiveness for everything. No. You repent of what he shows you, what he brings to your mind. Maybe it was a comment you made to your spouse or a kid or a wrong attitude that you had or whatever it may be. And as it pops up, you just say, Jesus, I give that to you. Please forgive me of that. I repent of that. Wash me clean. I receive your forgiveness. And now we move on. Seek forgiveness from all whom you have offended and forgive all who have hurt you. So if you know there's someone that you've upset, and I don't, not by the right things you're doing in your life, because sometimes when we're following Jesus doing the right thing, other people seem to get upset about it. Not that. But if you were wrong in a matter, go apologize to that person. The Bible says go humble yourself. before you bring your sacrifices to the altar, go make things right with your brother or sister in Christ. So that's all it's saying. So if you know, oh, I said that again to my mom. I need to go apologize. Or gosh, I said that again to my spouse. I shouldn't have said it that way. Or I was really rude to the kids before they jumped out of the car this morning to go to school because I was stressed out because I was running late and Billy Joe couldn't tie his shoes and now his shirt has mustard on it, whatever. You just make it right and we move on. Make restitution as the Holy Spirit leads you. Reconcile. Make restitution as God leads you. So like, I don't feel the need to now go track down 17 people that you've offended over the last 7 years. It's as God leads you to do so and as God puts that on your heart to do so. Surrender your life fully to Jesus as Lord and Master. Meditate on the attributes of God, his love, his sovereignty, his power, his wisdom. Begin your time of fasting and prayer with an expectant heart. This is a big one, because Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. So if you're setting your objective, this is why I'm fasting, God wants you to expect results. He wants you to bring that mustard seed with you and say, I'm expecting you to move. I'm expecting to see you do something here, God. And it may not be this boxed in answer. It may not come exactly how I want it to. But Lord, I have faith and I believe I'm going to see you move and do something good. Have that expectation. Do not underestimate spiritual opposition. We already talked about this tonight. Satan sometimes intensifies the natural battle between body and spirit. So expect some resistance. Don't be caught off guard if you're having resistance in any area. So expect that from the enemy, but don't let that make you give up and quit. Continue to push in and push forward. Step four. Prepare yourself physically. I would say if you're going to do any kind of fast where you're going to fast food for a while and maybe only drink liquids, you probably don't need to sign up for a marathon because your body is going to be a little bit weak. So just know that. Be wise. Use wisdom when you're planning a fast. Step five. Oh, also in this. Have conversations with your spouse and or family to let them know about your fast, just like Amy did with her husband. And he said, hey, you gonna eat now because God answered your prayers? And she said, no, I still have this commitment. So she told her spouse about that. She had his blessing on her fast. And that's a good idea to do, especially if you are you cook meals for your family and now all of a sudden you're not making any meat. And they're like, what's the deal? Why are we not eating meat anymore? Don't do that to them. Don't torture them like that, but let them know, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm expecting God to do. And I'm going to fast and I'm going to see results in this. I just wanted to let you know, this is my plan and this is what I'm going to do. And invite your spouse's blessing on that too. So have those healthy conversations. Step five, put yourself on a schedule. When will you spend time with God? You need to set a time. You gotta set a time. Set a time, pick a place, and show up consistently. Because if you don't, you won't do it. Something else will come in. Trust me. You'll get a phone call. You'll get a lunch invitation. You'll feel extra tired that day. You'll set a time, pick a place, and show up consistently to pray. Because that's fasting coupled with the prayer is what's vitally important when we're fasting. So morning, noon, and evening, how long are you going to spend time with God? How long are you going to spend time in prayer, praying over what you want to see God do? Set that up. Don't be legalistic in it either. If it's cut a minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes short, don't beat yourself up about it. God wouldn't want you to do that. He's not doing that. He's just proud of you that you're committing to something like this. But set your time, set the expectation. And also, I would encourage you, make a prayer focus. Write down three to five prayer points of what you're focusing on praying about. Don't just go and say, okay, I'm going to spend time with God. Lord, I love you and thank you for this and thank you for that and bless me at my job and bless my marriage and bless my children and God, I would really love to see you move. And what do I need to be praying? You know, I have that meeting at 5 o'clock. Okay, back to prayer. I forgot that. See how easily it happens? But if you go into that time with God, if you go into that prayer time and you've got bullet points, this is what I'm focusing on. This is what I'm praying about. And you begin to pray those target prayers for what you're praying about, God will even begin to speak to you about those things. Be intent. I love this. In Colossians, get this. Go back here to Colossians. In Colossians 4:2, it says, be earnest and unwearied and steadfast in your prayer life, being both alert and intent in your praying with thanksgiving. Be intentional with your prayers. You're going before the Lord with boldness and with faith. Be intentional. Pray over those things that you're fasting about. Bring those things before the Lord. Step 6, end your fast gradually. As for those who are doing more extended fasts, maybe they're cutting out a certain food or cutting out something for an extended period of time. I know our interns did a Daniel fast, and they fasted. They were on this, like, the strict vegetables and fruit and no meat and all this. And then they went out, and they, when it was done, and they tore it up. They had so much junk food and so much bad food. Oh, my gosh. They were sick for, like, a couple days, but they couldn't resist. They just jumped in with burgers and fries and milkshakes and ice cream. They're young 20-year-old guys, and so they just jumped right in, and they were all like, oh, I feel so young. I feel so green. I feel so sick. Why? Because they didn't eat any of that for, like, 30 days. And then they immediately went and jumped right back in. So if you are doing an extended fast where you're cutting out certain things, dab your toe back into it little by little. Don't do like our young little interns and be sick for 3 days. Number 7, expect results. Write down what you're believing God to do, reveal, or speak in your life during your fast. Pray over these 7 steps in your commitment to fast and believe that God will do what only He can do. This is one of my favorite parts in when I'm setting up a fast. I know I've used this model so many times, but it's those faith-filled declarations that you're declaring. Because now you're not just thinking them, you're putting them on paper. You're making this known. You're saying, I'm standing on this. I'm believing by faith. This is what God is going to do. And now I have that expectation in my hand. And I'm going to the King with it every day, petitioning and praying and believing like Daniel, breakthrough is on the way. That's what that expectation means to your heart, means for your life, means for your marriage, for whatever it is. You write it down and you stand on it. Right now at your tables, we're going to give you guys some time to work through a fast. Ask your table host questions. I know myself and Whitney will even be walking around if you have any questions about how to do this, what to do, if there's any confusion. We want to help you. We want you guys to leave tonight completely empowered and equipped to begin fasting and begin fasting effectively in the right way. And so right now, I'm going to release you to your tables to work through this. Whitney did, I love this too, she actually printed these off. Is this a fast that you've done before? So in August, for the 21 days, we do 21 days of prayer and fasting every August and January. Whitney used the 7 steps in your manual to create a fast for herself, and she's printed off an example of that that you can use and read through to kind of help create your own fast and how you're going to fast. So use this resource. It's very powerful, you guys. We'll meet back up here in about 10, 15 minutes.
All right, guys and gals, if you can take another 30 seconds, just about another 30 seconds. Here I am with open hands. Okay, as you're wrapping up your chat, I know some of you are still kind of writing some things down, talking with your table host. You know, if you're not done or not finished yet, it's okay. Make sure and follow up with your table host, document it. It might take a little bit more time there. So as we start wrapping it up, team, man, the conversation here is great. Hey, I'm trying to respect your time, you know? I mean, okay, team, real quick. I want to make sure and respect everybody's time and people taking their kids and things like that. So again, if you're not finished yet or you need to talk with your table host a little bit more, Derek, or Michael, so you can certainly do so. Yeah, see, I mean, come on, I got to get on to you, bro. I'm not going to get on one of the students, man. I've known him longer than I've known you, so, you know, anyway. So, like I said, make sure, touch base with your table host, make sure and communicate with them what you're trying, what you're going to document, et cetera. One question that has come up with several tables is, when do I start this fast? When should I kick this thing off? We have it in this part of the class for good reason, right? Like, you know, Derek talked about, it's week four, we got the second half of the class left plus the retreat. The next few teachings, they're very intense, okay? We're digging in deep, guys, and the reason why we're putting it right here is not just to say, you know, check off a box in the church like, yep, we covered fasting, all right, moving on. No, we put it here for a reason, and the reason is to empower you with this tool so that in order to prepare you for what's to come. I mean, think about it. With, you know, Jesus, before he was tempted, right, by Satan, what did he do? He fasted. And here's the key thing about that. Did you think he fasted to avoid the temptation that was coming? No, he fasted to get through it, right? Also with Moses, the other person we talked about in this fasting, here's another important point I would challenge you or encourage you to think about. Fasting shouldn't consider a slot machine, right? Oh, I'm going to pray for this. I'm going to fast for it in order to get this over here, right? That's not the way to think about it. Because Moses, if you read back in, I think it's Exodus 28, 29, when he goes, before he goes through this fast, what does he ask? He tells God, God, if you're not going with us and these people, we're not going either. We are only going with your blessing. But then what does he say? He says, show me your glory. Show me your glory, right? He said, God, it doesn't matter what we get out of this. I want to see you. I want to get closer to you. And yeah, a lot of times we focus on the gifts, right? The gifts that God gives us. But let us always more focus on who provides those gifts. That's the point of the fast, right? Again, it's not a slot machine. It's getting closer to God that's the most important. One other thing. Oh, one other question that came up is, if you saw that sheet and you say, hey, I want to customize this, I want to, you know, make it to my own and not scratch something out and write it. I want to type it to my needs and what's going on. Talking with Whitney, we can email that out to you. We'll send it to the table host. The table host can then send it to your table. So that way you can pull in Word, type it up, and then post it wherever you want to put it, right? Okay. Let's see. I think I covered everything. Oh, one other thing. What we do not suggest with this, all right, so let's say you decide on what you're going to fast, and Monday morning you say, okay, I'm going to fast lunch every Monday, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to IHOP, and I'm going to order 2 stacks of pancakes instead of one, man, so that way I know this fast is coming up, and I'm going to be ready for it, okay, let's just be clear on this, if you don't feel it, you didn't fast it, okay. You don't feel it, you didn't fast it. So that's just let's use some common sense here, right? And let's not like, you know, oh man, I'm going to fast Netflix. I better, you know, binge watch it the rest of tonight through 3 a.m. to get as much as. Let's not do that, right? Again, if you didn't feel it, you didn't fast it. Okay, I think that covers most of that. One pretty important point, by the way, how many people, real quick, when you heard the term of fasting, what we were going to talk about, you were thinking, all right, I'm about to hit the snooze button. I'm about to chill out. Kind of boring. This isn't going to be that great of a teaching. Anybody think that initially, right, when you heard about fasting? Or is our team so engaged that you're like, man, this is, there you go. Cool. No, that's great. Hey, has anybody ever heard of fasting taught in this way before to where you thought, no? It's kind of different, right? Now you can use it. You can apply it. is something you can use in your spiritual life. And yeah, I think getting a lot of heads nodding. That's great. Cool. So one thing to cover then is what your table host will be handing out to you. If they don't have it, we'll make sure and get it to you, is an encounter retreat survey. It's this little card right here. It's going to be handed out to each one of you. Basically what this is, you know how whenever a wedding is coming up and they say, hey, please check if you're attending or not so you can plan accordingly, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, that's basically what this is. So some of you are, you know, you're thinking, yeah, okay, I've already paid for it, I'm good to go. Some of you are saying, I want to go or I'm going to go, I just haven't paid yet. That's cool. That's what this survey is for, right? Wherever you're at on the spectrum, just to check it off. And the key point is to make sure that we are preparing that spot for you, getting a general head count. How many people do we need? How much space do we need? How much food do we need to prepare for, et cetera, et cetera. So if you can be a big help to us, this would be a huge favor to this team in order for us to plan and prepare accordingly. Okay, so make sure before you leave to fill this out and give it to your table host, okay? Thumbs up, everybody. Thumbs up. All right. Cool. Okay, and be sure, like I said, you talk to your table host. Start that fast this week. I would say while this is fresh in your mind, don't wait until, I'd strongly encourage you to basically nail it down by tomorrow, okay? If you're still thinking about it, not sure what to do, think about it through the night going into tomorrow, but by Monday, say, this is what I'm going to do throughout this coming week, okay? That's, I really need that kind of commitment from you guys, okay? Was this good? Yes. Everybody ready to go home? Yes. All right, I want to pray over you real quick, and we'll be dismissed. Father God, we're grateful. We're grateful for your word. We're grateful for you being a savior. Father, I pray that we take what we've learned today. I pray that our hearts are rich, dark soil that's taken these seeds, these new, fresh seeds in our life, God, and that they grow. The fruit that will come from this will be glorious, Father. From just in our own spiritual lives, Father, may our heart be rich and let that nurture, Father. And may we as a class come together and show, God, only through what you've spoken to us have we applied this. And Father, there's no other way that some of these things that have happened in my life, the growth that I've had in my spiritual life, could have happened without applying what I've learned in this class, Father. We claim that victory that's going to come from this, Father. We look forward to the testimonies that will come from this, Father. And as these people are going out, I pray that they take this within their hearts and they use it in their lives, Father. We thank you for what's going to come from it, and we say it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, y'all.